Good morning. I'm glad you could be with us for worship today. I hope you had a really fun Christmas time. We certainly did. And then because of what it's all about, that was special as well. Just a couple of announcements, you know, already to be signing up each week, starting on Monday at 3, whether on our website or by calling in the office. Towards the latter part of this week, the office is going to be closed with New Year's celebration, so probably better to earlier part rather than the later part of the week. If you need to use a restroom during this time, please make your way over to the atrium, and that's where you'll find them. And just a word about giving. I want to thank you for giving to the Lord's work here and supporting us. Some people ask me from time to time, how do I give? Well, when you come in the main doors, you'll see those little oak boxes right next to the door. So whether coming in or going out, you can place what you want to give to God's work in those boxes. And just thank you for giving. People wanted you to know that if you want to have more credit for 2020, it needs to be postmarked December 31st if you want it to apply towards this year. And then just a word about the Compassion Fund. We haven't said much about the Compassion Fund, but you still give them. And it's enabled our caring team to bless people in need in our congregation, the community. What we're going to start for next week is there'll be this little envelope called Compassion Fund, which will be on the countertop in the foyer, just to make it real clear, you know, whatever's in there is going to go towards the Compassion Fund. And we'll be doing that on the first Sunday of each month so people know that that's how it's going to go. And, of course, with your regular envelopes, if you just want to mark Compassion Fund, that will work as well. Our call to worship is from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Watch the contrast between these two verses as we prepare our hearts for worship. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Let's pray. Father, we realize that we couldn't imagine the kind of things that you revealed in the Bible would happen and would yet happen. And yet, what we couldn't discover on our own, you revealed them so we can look at them and marvel over them. I pray that there'll be that sense of worship and marvel as we sing unto you, as we hear your word, and as we ponder these things. Even as Mary turned those things over and over in her heart, give us new insights and experience of spiritual reality. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
All right, so how many of you guys, when you celebrate your birthday, you just celebrate it for one day? Raise your hand. Well, yeah, a lot more than first service. How many of you guys celebrate your birthday for a whole week? Raise your hand. Oh, we got one. Okay, this is crazy. How many of you guys celebrate your birthday for an entire month? My wife does. I know this. Well, we're going to continue to celebrate the birth of Christ this morning. We're going to do that through song. And this morning, I saw it fit for us to be singing of God's power. I know that we're celebrating the birth of Christ, but it's also important for us to remember that he wasn't just born a child, right? He wasn't just born, you know, a cute little Jesus. He was born to reign. He was born, and he did that in a very different way, but he did that in the way that the Lord saw fit. So let's stand together and sing together our God.
Turned into wine, open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you, none like you. Into the darkness you shine, out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none like you.
Come down to live a perfect life. He also came down to die on a cross for a death that me and you deserve, to be separated from the Lord. So he came down and he took on that punishment. And then 3 days later, he rose again. And that is what the prophecy was talking about. That is how God chose to reign, through humility. This next song is called He Reigns. And let's celebrate this morning and sing together of how our God reigns.
Thank you.
love song born with the grateful choir. Let's sing it together. It's all God's children singing glory, glory. Hallelujah. He reigns. He reigns. It's all God's children singing. Children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns. Let's sing that out again, church. All God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns. It's all God's children singing.
Isn't that a great song? He reigns, and all over the world, all over time, generations, differences, expressions in different ways, but all with that theme that he reigns. Thank you, worship team. Our spotlight today is on Wayne and Janine Allen. They use our facilities upstairs for their counseling office, and they're with Freedom Ministries. And some of the ways we can be praying for them is they work with couples, they work with families, they work with individuals, and their goal is to help them using the scriptures to help them to experience true freedom in Jesus Christ, because a lot of people aren't there in terms of experiencing freedom. So what they do is they give out packets of information, whether it's a married couple or an individual. They give them assignments ahead of time, they work through that, and even that can be helpful with them beginning to grasp the truth of scripture. So we want to pray for that, for God to be working in those couples and families and individuals as they work through their pre-assignment stuff before they get together. And then for Wayne and Janine to have that spiritually tuned listening ear to hear what's going on and to be able to speak effectively for God to help them to give the truths that will unlock the bondage of what those individuals are experiencing and freedom in Christ. As you remember, Wayne and Jean were supposed to go to West Africa two different times now. It's been canceled because of the COVID virus. And so now they're planning for July and August of next summer, hopefully over COVID enough in West Africa that they can go and train people in counseling in West Africa. So let's pray for them to be effective, and let's just take a moment and pray together, seeking God together. The throne, right? We can go to the one who reigns. and know that he hears us. Let's pray. Father, with all of your children, we do shout hallelujah. You do reign. We're grateful for that. And we realize in this time, sometimes you reign through weakness, but your power is still there, and help us to be open to that. Lord, I pray that you would be at work in Wayne and Janine. Help the couples and families and individuals that are preparing right now to meet with them to begin to experience truth and grace just as they do assignments before they meet together, and then give them wisdom to be your instrument to see people experience true freedom in Christ and through your scripture. Father, I pray for Barb and her grandson, that you would be compassionate and merciful and intervene and strengthen them in that situation. I pray for Andy in his time away, that he will be very refreshed, he and his family, as they're enjoying some time away. Father, I pray that as we go into a new year, that we are open to being used however you want us to use. Let us be your instruments. Let us be your voice that you would speak through us, your hands, your feet. And I pray, Father, that we will live for you even when it doesn't make sense. Father, we ask now that you'll open your scriptures, warm our hearts, speak to us with what I would share and what Barb would share as well. Enable us by the Spirit to be empowered for your glory and honor. To you, name we dedicate this time. Amen. Amen. There is one book of the Bible that people find fascinating, an extra amount. And I find even non-Christians find this book fascinating. So Christians really get into it, but even non-Christians say, that book just fascinates me that it's there. It's also one that makes people curious, like, what's this all about? There seems to be stuff here I don't quite grasp, and they read it again, and the curiosity, the openness, the excitement about this book, it's there. And the book we're talking about is Revelation. You look at Revelation and say, wow, what's this stuff about? There seems to be truths there that are key for our time and in the future. And people, both Christians and non-Christians, are real open to what this is all about. So today, by the grace of God, we begin in Revelation. And looking at this book and trying to experience the blessing that God has for people through this book as we look at it. I think the best way to begin is by answering some of the common W questions that we ask when we begin a new adventure like this. So that's how we're going to move through this. Hopefully there's a sense of excitement about this, because most people think in terms of prophecy, the future. There is so much more than prophecy. That's there, and it's good stuff. But there's stuff about worship in here that is spectacular. There's stuff about God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which is amazing. There's stuff about what people are like in here, which is eye-opening. But we put it all together. There's tremendous blessings from this book. So a couple of questions quickly. Who wrote it? Now, we know ultimately God himself wrote it and inspired it. But who is the human author? I would suggest it's the Apostle John. He gives himself by name in chapter 1, verse 1, verse 4, verse 9, and then chapter 2. Again, I'm John that has experienced all this. The language is very similar to the Gospel of John. You'll see similar language between that and the book of Revelation. So it's the Apostle John that is writing it. When did he write it? I would suggest John wrote his books, which is the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and Revelation, the last books of the New Testament that were written. And so this book is written between 90 and 95 A.D., the last of the books, arguably the last book of the New Testament that was written. At this point, the emperor in Rome, his name was Domitian. Domitian ruled from 81 to 96 A.D. And during Domitian's rule, there wasn't widespread persecution all over the Roman world, but it did break out in certain places. where there was persecution here, persecution there. It is true that during Domitian's reign, he did enforce emperor worship, worshiping him as God. And so certainly in the places that John was writing to, there were outbursts of persecution based on trying to enforce emperor worship on the Christian community. And so that's the timing of when this took place. John himself is exiled on the Isle of Patmos, which is mentioned in chapter 1, verse 9. Because of faithfulness to Christ and the message of the gospel, he has been exiled. That's a little bit southwest in the Aegean Sea, just off of modern-day Turkey on this small island where he is exiled during this time. Now, the tricky one is, how do we interpret this book? And I realize I got to stretch you a little bit in terms of mentally thinking about it, because this is crucial, how you're going to interpret and how you're going to approach it. The first thing I would say is you better approach it humbly. That there needs to be humility, not this arrogance that I know it, nobody else does. There's got to be this humble approach that I'm likely wrong in some of my understanding of this book, but guess what? You're likely wrong too. And some of your understanding of this book. So there shouldn't be this kind of critical, I've got it together, I know it better than you. There ought to be this humble approach that, hey, I'm learning. And let's benefit from generations that have studied this book, benefit from one another, and keep on learning. But having said that, there are people who try to do justice to the Bible. There have been four different approaches to how to understand and interpret Revelation. Don't worry about the big words I'm about to use. I'll explain them. But the first approach is the historicist. And the historicist approach is basically saying that this book is fulfilled down through history. So you begin in the first century, you go all the way down to the present time, and you look for what historical events have fulfilled these different, okay, this happened in the third century, this is the fifth century. The problems with this approach is there's no consistency. People look at the same events and they interpret it inconsistent. What would this event, what did fulfilled it, and what about that event? The other problem is that history continues to go on. With Christ not returning, that gives you more history. And so people have to reinterpret and say, okay, I guess I was wrong. This must be what the historical event, and now today this is this historical event. And so that's the struggle with the historical approach to it. There are some people that take chapter 2 and 3, which are specific letters to the seven churches where John ministered, and they take those and they say they're not only specific letters. They say each of these addresses, letters to these seven churches, is talking about a succeeding event throughout church history, and each one of them is describing what the church is like through those seven successive time periods until Jesus returns. The second approach is what's called the preterist approach. Don't worry about the term. What it means, though, is it all happened either in the time of the Apostle John or shortly after John went to be with the Lord. It all takes place during that time period. So the beast of Revelation chapter 13, that's Imperial Rome and its priesthood. That's the way it would be interpreted. The conflicts described, or the spiritual battles between the church and the Jews who were against the church, or just the paganism of the Roman world and the battle between the church and the Roman world and all its paganism. So that's a second approach. The third approach is called the idealist or spiritualist. And this kind of approach says, hey, don't look to identify a particular description revelation with some historical event. That's not really the way we're supposed to approach this book. There's no actual particular historical event that a part of a chapter would be referring to. Instead, we need to spiritualize it. It's speaking in ideal terms or spiritualized terms. And then basically what this approach is trying to say, hey, the real message is evil will be trounced and good will triumph. And God will be the victor. He will be the overcomer. He reigns and he will always reign, and he will trample down Satan and all of the forces on Satan's side. So there's this spiritualization in terms of approaching it. The problem with this approach, if you do it exclusively, is why 22 chapters of detail? If we're just supposed to spiritualize it, you can do that in a paragraph or two or a chapter or two. Why 22 chapters of detail? And on top of that, when you look at the events in these chapters, you say, it looks like I should look for a particular event that this is pointing towards. Whether it actually happened or is going to happen, certainly if I'm trying to take it for face value, it looks like it's pointing to a particular event that will fulfill it. And the last approach then is the futurist approach. And in this approach, you say, apart from the first three chapters, beginning in chapter 4, these are events pointing to the future, just before the second coming of Jesus Christ to earth, and then following after the second coming of Jesus Christ to earth. We are looking for these events to be fulfilled just before and after the return of Jesus Christ to earth. Now, the truth is, there is some degree of truth to all four of these approaches, where you can look at Revelation and say, hey, that's a valid point here. I can certainly see that. What I feel most comfortable with is putting the futurist approach together with the preterist approach, because we're acknowledging this is future-looking, before and then the second coming and then the return of Jesus Christ. But there is an element that the church in John's time benefited from these messages. They could see, oh, wow, I can really understand what they're talking about in light of the Roman worship that's being enforced in our city. And so they could relate to what was happening in John's time, as well as this element of a future fulfillment that's going to take place. And certainly we can't deny that the spiritual message is there. God rules. He ultimately overcomes, and he's going to be victorious come what may, and certainly things will come. All right, what's the theme of this book? Now, again, I'm learning too. So here's my best grasp of the theme of the book of Revelation right now. By the time I move on, I might improve it a little bit, but here's what I would say. God rules. If you want just two words that Revelation is all about, God rules. He reigns. God rules. But if you want to add a few more, God rules, and he will judge and perfect his creation. That includes all the people that he's created too. He rules, he will judge, and he will perfect his creation, so we need to be faithful to him. And really, John has a pastor's heart. As he's writing to these different churches that are addressed in chapter 2 and 3, he's got a pastor's heart because he realizes they're going through different kinds of pressure, and he wants them to be faithful to the Lord. And he wants them to know, even though it looks like otherwise, God still reigns, God still rules. He will judge. He does judge now, and he will judge. And he will perfect his creation without sin one day. So then our response is to be faithful as we possibly can in light of that reality. The next question is, how is it arranged? And we can get real complicated here, but I don't want to get complicated. I want to be simple. So if you want to look at how it's arranged, you could look, first of all, at chapter 1, verse 19. Therefore, write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after these things. Okay, that's a way to grasp it. The things which you have seen, the things which are right now, and the things which will take place. That's a good way to follow the flow of this book. The other way to look at it in terms of a simple arrangement is there are four times in this book where John will say, I was in the Spirit. The first time will be in chapter 1, verse 10. And with each of these, it's like four major visions where John was in the Spirit, and in the Spirit, he's enabled to see this vision which he can record for other people to benefit from. So that's a simple arrangement to the book. And we'll note the other times as we work our way through the book when he says he was in the Spirit. Okay, now jumping into the first two verses, what is it? Well, let's read these first two verses. What is this thing? The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bondservants the things which must soon take place, and he sent and communicated it to by his angel to his bondservant John, who testified to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. The Greek word for revelation is the word that we get our English word apocalypse from. And you've heard that used in movies and things like that, apocalypse. Well, here's what it's borrowing from. And what apocalypse means is disclosure or revealing or unveiling. There's a curtain drop so we can't see. God lifts the curtain so we can see. He unveils something. He discloses something so that we can see. The humble part of this is on our human effort, we would never be able to figure these things out. We would never be able to discover these kind of things about the future. But God has revealed them so we can see them. He's lifted the curtain so we can see what He wants us to see, what we need to see to be faithful. He has disclosed that to us. So you got to get pretty excited about, hey, I want to see what He has disclosed to us. What is this about? I want to see those kind of things. Notice also how the baton is passed in verse 1 and 2. It begins with God the Father. God the Father gave it to Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, the Son of God, gave it to His angel. His angel gave it to John. John gives it to other bondservants. You get to feel how we're pulled into it? We're other bondservants if we're followers of Jesus Christ. So it's given through all those hands, it's given to us as well, been passed along to us. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, there's two ways you could take that little phrase of Jesus Christ. It could be about Jesus Christ. And certainly throughout the book, there's a lot of truths about Jesus Christ. But I think the better way to understand it in context, it is the revelation that came from Jesus Christ. He's the source of it. It came from Jesus Christ to John, to the rest of us as well. He is the source of all that. So we ought to be, wow, Jesus Christ is the source of this? What's He saying? I want to see what He's revealed, what He's disclosed to us, what He has lifted the curtain on. Now, the one we struggle with is where it says, which must soon take place. It's been 2,000 years, and it's going to take place. And again, there's two options of how you can interpret the little word that is soon here. The one way you could legitimately interpret is it will be quickly. When these events begin to take place, they will happen quickly, rapidly, quickly. The other way you can take it is just, he means soon. It's very near. These things are, we're right there on the brink of them taking place, and they are going to happen very, very soon. And we can take it either way, but I sort of lean towards the latter, that the Lord wants every generation of His church in this sense of expectation that Jesus could come back in my generation. We are that close. It is that soon. And that's where He wants the church in every generation living as though it could be real soon. Right now in my life that these things are going to take place. So I better be faithful. As Peter points out in 2 Peter 3, verse 8, one day with the Lord is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like one day. That's what we struggle with. His sense of quick is not our sense of quick. His sense of it's very near, it's very close is not what we want. I want it right now, yesterday. And God says, no, you wait on my timing. And it's far nearer than you think it is. But you live and don't lose that sense of expectation. Or you're not going to be what you need to be spiritually, if that is the case. Now notice John's bearing witness. He testified to the word of God and the testimony. And again, I would suggest it's not just testimony about Jesus Christ. It's the testimony from Jesus Christ. Whoa! The source of this book is God's word. The source of this book is Jesus Christ. It's His witness. It's His testimony. And so John takes it and he witnesses and testifies it to other people. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to take the word of God. We're supposed to take the testimony which has Jesus Christ as its source, He's the testimony that's given this, the testifier, and we're supposed to take it and turn around and witness and testify it to other people. And that's what our task needs to be all about, as long as we possibly can with as much effort. Always sensitive to every opportunity. Hey, this could be an opportunity to testify of Jesus' testimony to somebody else. And if you're sensitive, the Spirit of God will prompt you. Here's an opportunity I'm putting before you. And we can take advantage of those opportunities. Another question I think we can ask is, why read it? I fear I'm just going to be confused over it. I fear it might just baffle me. Why read it? Notice verse 3, the first of seven blessings in the book. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear. Now, this word for reads means read out loud. Because these books, like Revelation and other books in the New Testament, they were circulated in the churches. So you would be at a church gathering one morning, and hey, we're going to hear Revelation read. Someone's going to read it out loud to us. That's the only time they could hear this book. It's the only time they could hear other books of the Bible, is if someone had a copy of it to circulate it, and then they could read it out loud. They would be excited about that. No explanation necessarily, but just hearing it read, and there was blessing in hearing it read out loud. And there was blessing in both the person reading it and the people who were listening attentively to what was said. But notice, the blessing is not just about reading and hearing. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed and obey the things which are written in it, for the time is near. The Bible will not allow us to just be hearers of the words. We've got to not only read it and study it and hear it, but do it and obey it. And if there's something going on in our life right now that we know, I've heard it, but I'm not obeying it, that's your task today. Go and obey what you know, what you've heard, what you've read, what you've studied. Now go apply it and go obey it. So there's this blessing here to hear it read out loud, and then to obey and act upon what we've heard. And what John wants here happening, what God wants, is he wants people strongly motivated, not just being curious about things, what's going to happen, but they get beyond just a curiosity, where this book is calling me to faithfulness. And it's calling me to faithfulness in a community and in a world that kind of majors on unfaithfulness. Do your own thing. And no, you don't do your own thing. You be faithful to God. And it's in a world where there can at times be intense pressure to disobey God and not be faithful to what you know you should be doing. And the pressure is intense. And this book counters that and says, no, the pressure is intense, but God rules. You be faithful, not just in knowing, but obeying what the Lord Jesus has given you to obey and what faithfulness looks like right now.
You got an amen. Okay, kiddos, we're over here right now. Run, 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 run. You're going to like this. Run your buns. Ariel, get ready. Robbie, get ready. Hey, I haven't seen you for a while. Yay. Good job, R. Leah, I know I saw you back there. Hurry fast. All right. See, Leah has to come, otherwise it'd be all boys, right? Right. Did you have a good Christmas? Yeah. Did you have a good Christmas, Leah? Yay. All right. So what am I sitting beside? The baby in the manger. Who's that baby in the manger? Jesus. And Jesus, that's what we just celebrated at Christmas, right? That's why we gave all those presents and why we came to church and we celebrated the birth of Jesus. Now, when Jesus was a baby, He had to learn to talk, didn't he? Because he was all human being. And just like a human baby, because he was a human baby, he had to learn to talk, he had to learn to walk, he had to get potty trained. Did you ever think about that? Oh my gosh, he was totally human in every way. And that's what we celebrate at Christmas. And then Jesus grew up, and he taught, went around telling people about God. And he did miracles. What was your favorite miracle? What's your favorite miracle? 5,000 people without not counting women and children, right? And so he did so many miracles. The Bible says that there aren't enough pages in the world to list all the miracles. Whoa, does that blow your mind? He did so many miracles. Now, he did miracles. Wonder why he did so many miracles. To show everybody that he is God. And he showed everybody he was God. And he told them, oh my gosh, God loves you so much. Wait a minute. For God so loved the world, help me, that he gave his one and only son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him, help me, should not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16. But some people put him on the cross, didn't they? Now, Jesus never, ever, 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 ever did one sin. Never did one sin. So he shouldn't have died, right? He didn't earn death. Let's take a walk. Up, up, you buns. We're walking fast, walking fast, walking fast. Walking fast, walking fast. Look at their following. Have a seat. Have a seat, have a seat. But some people were very jealous of him, and some people put him on the cross, and he died. And he died because he didn't have any sin, but the sin that caused us to die, he took all our sins on him on the cross. He made a bridge, right? Remember we talked about it in small group? He made a bridge to heaven for us. Wow. But did he stay dead? He's not on that cross. Did he stay dead? No. Jesus rose in 3 days. God made him rise again. And, got to go over here. And as he rose again, he stayed on earth for 40 more days. And then he showed everybody, he says, look, at here's where the nail went in my hands. Here's where the nail went in my feet. And it was all healed. And he saw people for 40 days, and he saw over 500 people. So he was dead, 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 but he was really alive, 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 right? Right? And then he took his disciples on a walk one day, and they went way up the Mount of Olives, way up a mountain. It is still there. And from the Mount of Olives, after you get way up it, I mean, they were tired. They probably sat down on a rock. They looked over and they could see Jerusalem. They could see the temple from the Mount of Olives. And Jesus is talking to them and he says, now I want you to remember everything I've taught you. I want you to remember that I love you. I want you to remember that I'm always, always with you. And I want you to remember that I am coming back. And I think that went right over their heads. I don't think they got that part. And he said, I am going to send you the Holy Spirit, and this is your job. Everybody sit up straight. Jesus has given us a job. He says, your job is to tell everybody that I love them. Tell everybody how I was born, how I died, how I rose again. Tell everybody, and when they believe, they will have eternal life too. That's your job. Now, I was thinking about this. He didn't look at the disciples and go, that's your job, but you really don't have that gift, so it's not your job. That's your job, but that's not, you don't have that gift, so that's not your job. He didn't say that, did he? He said to everybody, including us, turn to your neighbor and go, including us, that this is our job to tell everybody about Jesus. It's our job. Okay, as he was saying this, he started going up. Look up, 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 up. And he disappeared into the clouds. And I think the disciples' eyes were bigger than they'd ever been before because they saw him and then they didn't see him. And they're looking up, and their mouths are probably hanging wide open too. And they're looking, where'd he go? Where'd he go? Where'd he go? And suddenly, two angels were standing right there with him. And they said, why are you guys looking at the clouds? And they kind of go, Jesus was here, and then he's not here. And they go, don't look at the clouds. Didn't Jesus tell you he's going to come back? He will come back the very same way that he left. Now, how many of you, when you're outside, look up at the clouds ever? What about sunsets, beautiful sunsets? What about those big, fluffy, white clouds? I like those. Do you ever think about it as you're looking up at the clouds? Jesus is coming back the same way that he left. And maybe it's today. He didn't tell us when. He didn't tell us when he's coming back. It could be in the next 5 minutes and we would just go, whoa. Wow. We don't know. But in the meantime, we have a job to do, don't we? Do you remember what job he gave you? Do you remember what job he gave you? Everybody nod and smile. He gave us a very important job. And he didn't just suggest it. He told us that that's our jobs. So what we're going to do today is we're going to start telling people, Jesus is coming back, Jesus is coming back, Jesus is coming back. Now, I don't have real outgoing yellers here. So Miss Ariel is, and Robbie are going to help lead us. And we're better start moving right now. They're going to be the leaders, and you follow them. And when you're going down the aisles, you're going to go down that way and come back this way and go down that way. And you're going to say to people, I want you to yell it. Yeah, you get to yell in church. Yell as loud as you can. Jesus is coming back. Let's practice. Ready? Jesus is coming back. Louder. Jesus is coming back. And I don't even care if you touch people on the shoulder and tell them, Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. Can you do that? Oh, I bet you can. I bet you can. You do it? Because that's our job. Jesus told us, are you ready? Now, you guys are going to have to help them, because you're going to be saying to your neighbor, Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. Ready? Follow Miss Ariel and follow Miss Robbie. Ready, go. Yell it at the top of your lungs. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. Louder, Leah. Jesus, you are not helping them. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. Be excited. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. Louder, louder, louder. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. Get this out, too. You got to get this out. Jesus, come back. Touch him on the shoulder. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. All the way up here. You can do it. Jesus is coming back. Come on, help him out. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. Have a seat. Thank you, Miss Ariel. Thank you, Miss Robbie. Yeah. And that's how we should feel. We should be clapping. We should be excited, because you never know. Maybe it's today. When you go outside, you look at those clouds and you go, maybe it's today. Oh my gosh, have I done my job today? I need to do my job today. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much that you keep your promises. You always keep your promises. You promised that you are with us. You promised us the Holy Spirit to help give us power. And you promised that you are coming back. Thank you for keeping your promises. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that helps us. Help us go do our job. In Jesus' name, amen.
Such a simple truth. But if we're honest, I mean, at least if I'm honest, sometimes I skip over that one. I want to be encouraged this morning to not just be hearers of the word, but to be doers. And although I'm a little winded from watching them run around, I want you to be encouraged as well. Let's stand together. Let's fill this sanctuary with our voices this morning. Give God praise, and then continue to be doers of the word.
Oh,
excited about this series, if nothing else, because of the worship. As we go through, especially these first five chapters of Revelation, it inspires some amazing response of worship, the truths we're going to encounter. So get excited with me as we will meet our God in a fresh encounter as we look at this revelation of Jesus Christ. Think about what we've done over the course of this last week. Over 1 week's time period, we have traversed the first coming of Jesus Christ and the second coming of Jesus Christ. A week ago, we were thinking of his first coming to come and save us from our sins. Now we're thinking about his second coming, both amazing events. And I think to be healthy as Christians, we need both events guiding our life. We're reminded of the first coming of Jesus Christ to save me from my sins. But I always need to be living faithful, knowing the second coming is coming soon. And I want to be found faithful when Jesus comes. When it gets hard, real tough, like maybe you're experiencing right now, he rules. And so let me be motivated by that and remain as faithful as I possibly can so I'm found faithful when he returns. Father, I thank you for these realities. The first coming of your Son, the second coming of your Son. And our life will be most healthy if we keep both in mind. So help us to do that. And I pray that the response on our part will be just spectacular worship to you, our spectacular God. May there even be moments when we are just silenced in adoration and praise before you. And may there be times when we just give ways to joy spectacular as we worship you for the amazing God you are that rules. In the precious name of your Son, amen.